Pleased to be joined now by Rice County Attorney John Fossum. John, we're roughly the same age. You're not much that much older than I am. You remember the Metro from Berlin from high school?
I wasn't in high school in 1987. I'd already moved on.
You okay? You got me by a couple of years then. Anyway, well, how are you doing, sir? Welcome.
Oh, doing well. It's we've been awfully busy at the office. Last week, or week before last, I think. Now I'm losing track of time. I guess it was last week.
Right.
We did our grand jury for Mr. Kolstad.
So, right.
That was the Morristown murder case where the man picked up a gun from the a shotgun from the from the gun cabinet, walked across the house and leveled it at his one of his roommates and fired the shotgun twice.
Yeah.
And the grand jury agreed with our position that that made it first degree murder, that there was premeditation there. And premeditation is one of those things that's kind of confusing in the law, but you know, it doesn't take months or days or weeks of planning. It just, you just have to have a plan. And so the grand jury agreed that there was probable cause to prosecute. And grand juries are kind of a weird animal that, you know, in order to charge a case that, that carries a life sentence, we need to bring in a grand jury. In most other cases, we can simply charge on our own by signing a complaint. And so we had to bring in we convened the grand jury, worked with them for 2 days to have them issue an indictment on the charge of first degree murder for Mr. Kolstad, which I think is appropriate given the seriousness of that offense and the conduct there.
I think grand juries for a lot of people are sort of shrouded in mystery. You hear about the grand jury did this or whatever, but they are kept anonymous as far as I know. And how does it work when you have to convene a grand jury? How do you go about doing that? How does that work?
So our court administrator has a list of people who are summoned for the year to be on grand jury duty.
Okay.
And grand juries can do one of two things. There can be an investigative grand jury that works on a lot of different things, or maybe works on a specific project, or there's a grand jury that comes in to listen to a specific case and determine whether or not there's probable cause. And it is a strange animal because everything else we do is public, but in the grand jury is secret, and so that there's a grand jury, what they're considering at the time is secret, but the result of their work, the indictment for first degree murder, is public.
Right.
And so it's a, like I said, it's a strange animal, but in some states and in federal court, every case has to be indicted by a grand jury.
Right.
Every felony charge requires a grand jury in federal court. And in, like I said, some states, I think New Jersey maybe and Georgia, I know, require a grand jury indictment for most cases,
okay.
Whereas we do it only where there is a potential life sentence is the only requirement.
Typically in a Rice County grand jury, how many people are on a grand jury?
A grand jury requires us to have somewhere between 16 and 23 people.
Okay, wow.
And
so it's not a small thing.
The court summons the 23 people, and we work with the people who've showed up to, we have to have at least 16 of them in the room at all time.
Okay.
At all times, and those 16, the 16 people who have heard the whole case at least have to be the ones that deliberate.
I get it.
And so it's a...
Right. Yeah. Now, premeditation... like you're saying, that could be, that doesn't have to be, I sat down, I wrote an outline, I made a plan, I, you know, bought the ammunition 12 days beforehand or whatever. That could be 5 minutes, right?
And, or More or less. I mean, okay. It can be very quickly.
Yeah, it's interesting. That's such a weird case, and I know you can't talk about it all, but Mr. Cole said that he was told by someone else that by midnight that night, either he or his roommate was going to have to die, and so he sat and thought about it for a while and then picked up the gun and shot him. It's going to be an interesting case to try, I would think. You've also made some... not you personally, but Dundas and Rice County has made some national news with this road rage incident with Leslie Sanders.
Yeah. Mr. Sanders was driving on the Cannon City Road, and he came across another car, and he passed the car on the double yellow line,
mm-hmm.
and... Mr. Myers honked at him, and that's what I think began the incident. And it continued on to Highway 3,
yeah,
where Mr. Myers stopped. Mr. Sanders got out of his truck, leaving it in gear, and it just rolled into the ditch. And he came out, and he just beat up poor Mr. Myers. And Mr. Myers, at 79 years old and on his way to his dialysis appointment, died. And it's a terrible thing. What a tremendous tragedy for that family. And what an awful case.
Yeah.
What an awful situation.
Yeah.
And the just completely inexplicable. No provocation of any kind. It's just. Completely a strange case.
And Mr. Myers, as I understand it, was a decorated Vietnam vet.
Yeah.
Who, on his way to a dialysis appointment.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is just... I've talked with a couple of different people on the air about this case. I have tried to find words to figure out, make sense of this at all. And it just, I mean, that's just blind rage.
Yeah, it really is. And it just sort of came out of nowhere and no particular reason. And, based on that and based on the age and vulnerability of Mr. Myers, mm-hmm. I have filed a motion to enhance the sentence.
Okay.
So when we go to trial... we would be seeking to seek an upward departure on that case because I think the guidelines are, the guideline sentence would not be adequate to contain Mr. Sanders given his, clear rage issues.
What are the charges? It's
second degree murder, while committing a felony.
Okay.
And the felony being a felony assault.
Sure, sure. Was Mr. Sanders known to law enforcement at all? Had he had any issues before this?
We're not aware of any.
Oh, gosh. It makes me sick to my stomach just thinking about it.
Yeah, well, it's a horrible case. And as I said, it's a terrible situation for the family. And I feel awfully for them. And this is a case that I take personally and that I would like to... be able to see this one through and take it to the end.
You are a former military yourself, so...
No, I was a contractor in Afghanistan.
Okay, okay.
I was not in the service myself, but I think that the conduct of the defendant in this case is so inexcusable and so beyond the pale that it is something that I would want to see.
Yeah.
And so I hope to be able to take this case all the way through.
Well, you hate to say, well, good luck on this, but I mean, it's just, I would like to see this because there are several witnesses that saw Mr. Sanders beating the crap out of Mr. Myers.
Right.
And he is, my understanding is he has told authorities, well, Myers hit me back or whatever. And no one has even, no one else can corroborate that. So, we have the story of the young man at St. Olaf College who broke into the dorm room and assaulted his a woman he was not supposed to have contact with a hammer. What's the latest on that one?
That one is pending another hearing. It's calendared for an omnibus hearing in the fall,
okay,
or in August, I think, and so we're waiting on the next hearing on that one. That's another one I think we're going to just going to have to see if there is a it's not one that I'm looking for an early resolution on that one either.
Okay.
I think that's it's a serious case, and it's hard to see the it's hard to see the reason for the conduct.
Well, it's, you know. And then there's two more criminal vehicular. John, you are a busy man right now. We have two more criminal vehicular homicide cases also.
Yeah, if one that I wrote a brief on this week, filed. This was a crash at 35 and 19 from 2 years ago. So pandemic delays dragged this thing out.
Yep.
That one I expect will be getting to a trial probably relatively soon when the judge issues an order on that. And then we have the one from the golf course case from last fall in Faribault, where man left the golf course and had been drinking and ran over the young lady in the golf cart. And that's another terribly, horribly sad case that we are looking, I don't know if there will be a resolution on that one either, short of trial. I think those are, these are busy, difficult cases. And I am looking forward to, as I said, seeing all these cases through. I want to see all five of these to the end, because they are cases that, show that there's a real issue here and valuing human life. And that's, the victims and the victims' families deserve a fair resolution on these cases. And that's, we want to make sure we get that for them.
I'm starting to feel like we came out of the other side of the pandemic and the entire world just went insane over the course of 2 years. But how is the backlog coming?
The backlog is down, I think, using the court's numbers to about where they would like us to be in November. So we're there. I think we're keeping up with it, but as I've told you before, we haven't done anything special to clear up the backlog. We looked at people who had multiple files, and we kind of resolved some of those.
Right.
And we worked out resolutions, but otherwise we've just been doing our work the way we would normally do it.
Okay.
And so, it's not like we're, having fire sales to get rid of cases. We are prosecuting the cases within our normal guidance.
Yeah, and have you increased your staff level too?
Yes, we're now at 11 lawyers, which we were at 10 for a while there, and so we have an extra pandemic ARP funded lawyer to help us clear up the backlog and help deal with the prosecution cases. But in the meantime, we've had other things too. As you know, my office acts as the civil counsel for the for the county board and for the county as a whole. So in the last 6 months, we've been dealing with zoning issues. We've been dealing with voting questions. We've been dealing with lots of other elections issues as well. And so we've been dealing with a really broad range of things. It is a difficult and complex job, but I have to tell you that I really enjoy it, and I'd like to I'm looking forward to the opportunity to keep going.
Well, that's good.
Keep these cases moving forward and getting justice for the victims in the cases you and I have just been talking about this morning is something that really drives me to get up and get down to work in the morning and get going.
Yeah, well, we appreciate all the work you and your office is doing. Anything else for our listeners, John?
I think that's what I've got for you today.
All right, sir.
Beautiful day out, isn't it?
Beautiful day. Absolutely gorgeous. And it's going to get hot and humid after today, so get out there and enjoy it in your nice suit.
All right.
All right.
Thank you very much, Rick.